Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Well, hello, Fresh, and welcome back.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
James, I'm here. Also, we are presided over by the spirit of sad Paul Rudd.
That's right.
Because you've, on the TV in this room, you've been watching This Is 40.
This Is 40.
And you've left it on a... You've left it on a still of Paul Rudd looking the saddest he's ever been and just sitting in a car.
If you pause it on most frames and This Is 40, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, right.
It's a great movie. I know people think it's overly long or whatever. That's probably true, but I think it's one of Apatow's best.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and
what's
a sequel.
His worst?
I never loved Funny People, but I never went back. So maybe
you'd improve on the rewatching,
yeah. The reason why people don't like Funny People is similar to this as well. I think they've got similar themes
and
ideas and whatever, but... Yeah, it's also a sequel to Knocked Up, which is a great movie also,
that's true,
I think.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh.
Should we do the show,
We're
Mason?
Laughing and learning, yes.
Laughing and learning.
I mean, we haven't done much laughing so far, or learning, to be honest, but yes, let's go on with the show.
Let's just do the show, we'll just see what happens. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Cool, great. Yeah. Terrific.
Speaking of laughing.
Oh, yes.
As you know, there's some bloody accusations flying thick and fast regarding the Justice League movie, the filming of. I don't know if you saw this, Ray Fisher's comments.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
I've got a breakdown of some of the stuff that happened.
So as far as I know, when Justice League came out at cinemas,
yes.
Ray Fisher there's footage of him at the time saying how much he supports the movie
yep.
and how
it was
much
a Comic-Con,
it's good.
Yep.
And he
His exact words were something like, because he retweeted this and said, he praised the filmmaker, Joss Whedon, who took over from Zack Snyder, who stepped away for personal reasons or may have been fired, picked a good person to come in and clean up and finish up for him. And then he said underneath that, I'd like to take a moment to forcefully retract every bit of this statement.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, there you go.
Is he the first star of that movie to say something horrible about it?
I think maybe openly, but I think he's definitely the first one to take a shot specifically at the director.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody else is doing that because... Yeah. Obviously, Ray Fisher was more of a stage actor before he was cast as Cyborg, and Zack Snyder, you know, chose him specifically for this role, and they built this character together, and only to have it then taken out almost entirely.
By the time the movie came out, he has like three lines.
It's embarrassing, like how little of him is in that movie, and you would be genuinely upset, you know, that you put this performance in, and then it was stripped away. But that doesn't seem to be the only reason he's upset, because he tweeted this that. Joss Whedon's on-set treatment of the cast and crew of Justice League was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. He was enabled in many ways by Geoff Johns and John Berg. Accountability is greater than entertainment.
My goodness.
So he's just bloody swinging fists,
That's
mate.
Exactly
just haymakers.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't say specifically what happened, but there's a few other things that have followed up since then. John Berg has come out with a statement to Variety and said, it's categorically untrue that we enabled any unprofessional behavior. And I remember Fisher being upset that we wanted him to say booyah, which is a well-known saying
Cyborg
of Cyborg from the animated series. So, but I think if it was just that one thing, I doubt that would have been.
Look, I had a wonderful time on this, but I just want to... Otherwise, I just want to fully sink Joss Whedon because he made me say booyah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because it is, because you don't have to put in every little reference from everything. No, you know. Exactly. So I don't even remember when he did say that. Was it the end when he separated the mother boxes? I have no idea.
I feel like it's a bit. Is there a moment where him and Aquaman are flying through the air somehow? Somebody says, does somebody say booyah? Look, I couldn't
say. I think he says, ride's not over. And he goes, my man.
That is true.
They both did their catchphrases in that movie.
Exactly right.
Yeah. But to speak more to of this.
Yes.
On Fat Man Beyond, and I went back and watched the clip where he talked about this. This is Kevin Smith's podcast. People know him as the director. He's a comic book writer.
So Ray Fisher was on this.
No, this was him discussing it. And he said when he visited the set of Solo, he spoke with some VFX artists who worked on Solo, both versions of Solo, because a lot of it was redone,
uh-huh.
and then both versions of Justice League.
Okay.
And they said that, he didn't name them specifically who it was, but Whedon cut down and was very dismissive and negative about Zack's version of the movie that he'd seen and all the special effects team had made together. So apparently he wasn't a huge fan of that particular vision, which kind of, is evident in what that movie ended up.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, you would think a little bit of professional courtesy would be like, hey, look, I really respect his work, but it's not going to work right now, so let's change everything. But his stuff sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit. And again, this is all like second, third hand information.
Exactly,
But yeah, it does seem a bit that way. I mean, I know Joss Whedon also around that time
was cheating on his wife.
On his wife for decades and was just about to happen or had happened where he was she wrote that letter talking about his infidelity over the years.
Yeah, right, so
it's very possible that he was having a horrible time. At the time of making, I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to. We don't know the specifics of what actually happened on set, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
I'm just presenting the facts. We used to do news, but now it's all wild speculation
and gossip. It's very hot. Yeah. Hot, juicy gossip, isn't it?
But Kevin Smith also mentioned this thing which you mentioned to me personally in our personal life
hot, juicy gossip
about the Wonder Woman boobs thing.
In the movie Justice League.
Yeah.
But in that movie, apparently, I'll start the whole thing again.
The show?
Yeah, the whole show from episode
one. All right, here we go. Hang on.
From episode one.
Theme song. Somebody say.
But so in Justice League, there's a scene where obviously the Flash falls over and he falls on Wonder Woman's boobs.
Yes.
And
it's very funny.
It's worth it for the laugh alone, because I just remember just being, the movie was drowned out in the cinema by laughter. Laughter and applause.
As it was in Age of Ultron with that exact gag.
But apparently in that scene, Ezra Miller's Flash falls on a Gal Gadot body double.
Yes.
And apparently she was just told, actual Gal Gadot was not in that scene.
Yeah.
Was just told to do a reaction shot of like, hey, react to something like you're surprised.
Yeah.
And then they edited it in.
Well, because, and what he said of this was that they said, lie down and we'll do the thing. And she was like, I'm not fucking doing that.
Right.
So, and that's why, and then he did it anyway using body doubles and trickery. Again, all secondhand, third-hand information. But I always presumed that it was, all of this stuff came down from Warner Brothers to be like, change it into something else.
Yeah, right.
But maybe he had more of a hand in the way this movie ended up than not. But again, we'll never really know at this point. It'll slowly unfold over the next few years. We'll get dribs and drabs.
One day we're going to get like a unauthorized biography of just this whole time period. And I will say I'm going to read it. I will buy it,
but
maybe.
But you'll read the excerpts
that are on Twitter. Speaking of controversy on the sets of DC movies.
Wow, here we go.
This is a piece of news.
Wow.
So the hot news is Christopher Nolan either does or does not allow chairs on set when he makes a movie.
And Hathaway said, right?
Yeah, I'm filming The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
She said that apparently Christopher Nolan was like, you're not allowed to have a chair because I guess if you're sitting, you're not working.
Well, it's what they used to say at McDonald's when I worked there. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
If you've got time to lean, you've got time to make an Oscar-nominated movie.
Yeah, that's right. I think if you've got time to lean, you should be able to lean just for a little bit.
I think if you've got time to lean, then later when you have to clean, you'll be more enthusiastic and rested for that clean,
Or just always be cleaning.
ABC.
ABC, yes.
Maybe that's true. But then, obviously, I think other people on other movies have said,
no.
Of course you get to.
Yeah. I think he said that he chooses not to sit.
At the little.
Yeah.
There's a thing called a video village.
And maybe also his director of photography, and some others like choose not to.
Yeah, so there's a thing. Yeah. There's a thing on a movie set, I guess, where there's monitors and you, and there's usually seats around the monitors, and all the director and the cinematographer and whatever, they film a scene and then they watch it back on a monitor, see what it looks like.
Yeah,
and apparently he doesn't use a chair there.
Yeah,
because he doesn't want to just get into a point where he's sitting there and wasting everybody else's time, where he just back into the left.
Yeah,
back into the left kind of thing.
That might be it. It could also be a situation where if you're wearing one of those superhero costumes, like your Batman suits or your Catwoman outfit, you can't sit in that because it will split.
Maybe, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
He leaves like a silver dollar like glued to the ground as a trap to see if anybody will
See who's poor.
That's exactly right. And if you're poor, you're out.
So yeah,
you can't afford a fancy scarf on a Christopher Nolan set. You're out.
Yeah, so no, I thought that was. I've been watching a few of those actors on actors things. I watched the Chris Evans Paul Rudd one, which was quite fun, and I've started to watch another one. I can't remember which one. Oh, the Patrick Stewart Henry Cavill one was quite interesting as well.
Do they have a connection besides being British?
I mean, it's that weird Skype thing, but they flow reasonably well.
No, I mean, do they have a historical connection?
Oh, well, because he talks about it up top, how Henry Cavill organized. Henry Cavill orgasmed. Auditioned.
Oh my god! What a leap!
He auditioned for a Shakespeare thing in his very, very early days for Patrick Stewart's production company.
Oh, I see.
I can't, but it was for a movie or TV. I couldn't tell you what it was, and he absolutely botched the audition after learning it perfectly, and then rang his agent and said, "Can I go back? I really want to do it again." So we went back again, and Patrick Stewart said to him at the time, "It's really brave of you to come back and do this. You know, really appreciate it. It shows great character and whatever." Uh-huh. He didn't get it anyway, but yeah.
It shows great character, but obviously we cannot trust you on the night because you will mess this up.
Yeah. So there you go.
I have Henry Cavill news also.
I love Henry Cavill news.
I thought I'd get some news together. Apparently the estate of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is suing Netflix.
Oh, for that weird...
For Enola Holmes.
Yes.
Which is a series that is upcoming based on a series, I think, of young adult novels where Sherlock Holmes has a younger sister who also solves mysteries.
Yes.
So that's news to me that there is a series of novels based on this with this new character.
Was she always... It's Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Was she always... a part of like the lore? Did he always have
new.
A sister?
She's new.
I mean, like even in the original books, is there like passing mention?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
But
I said it's a film. I thought, it's a film based on a series. Yeah, okay. So why are they suing them?
They're suing because Sherlock Holmes is nice to people.
What?
So the deal is that my assumption was that all Sherlock Holmes stories were in the public domain, but it turns out they're not. So the original series of stories are in the public domain. So for people who don't know, Sherlock Holmes stories are basically broken into two eras.
Mm. Before and after the waterfall?
Yeah, so Sherlock Holmes was created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and very popular, but he kind of got sick of writing the character and wanted to do other things.
Yes.
So there's this famous story where he battles his nemesis Moriarty. They fall off a waterfall.
After having a mind fight?
Yeah, they have a mind fight in mind palaces. They have clashing mind palaces. Their mind chandeliers just smash together into little bits. And then they die.
Yeah.
And Conan Doyle was like, okay, my character's dead. I'm going to do some more stuff. And then afterwards people are like, bring back Sherlock Holmes. Bring him back.
We'll give you money. Bring him back.
More mind palaces. More mind palaces. And so eventually he did bring him back. Mm. And it's true, if you read the later stories, he's more emotional.
Okay.
I guess because of...
Fell on his head.
He fell on his head, presumably. Or
he was
like,
underwater for a real long time.
Any of those things. But, you know, in the old stories, he's basically like, I bring Watson along because he's useful sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, they're not friends. They're just...
He's just someone to bounce off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's just a person to say ideas for, and occasionally he can move a thing or punch a guy for him or whatever. Yeah. And then later stories... He is more, he's clearly like, well, I appreciate people more. And I think maybe that's also due to, you know, maybe Conan Doyle's own life.
Yeah, right.
Had some things happen in his own life. But
you get old, you soften.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think, so those ones are not in the public domain. So the fact that, if Sherlock Holmes in this series was cold and emotionless, it would fall under the banner of the old stories.
I think the cutting off point should be if you said it before the waterfall.
The waterfall thing, exactly. Yeah.
Because sometimes he's nice.
So if Henry Cavill was just constantly damp in this series, then they could sue him because he'd be like, yep, just got out of that waterfall. It's really Really, he's maybe really they something.
Keep. Maybe the whole movie is just him. There's a lot of like strolls next to a waterfall. You're like, oh, this is it. Yeah. This is gonna happen. He never does it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. What a weird thing to sue for.
Yeah. This is from CNN. In earlier works now in the public domain, his aloofness and lack of empathy are crucial aspects of his character and must be respected in any adaptation, the estate claims.
Oh, there you
so
go.
You can do it for free
yeah.
if he's cold and aloof. And I guess they kind of like it.
Is that a time thing? Because I know public domain stuff, there was a time limit on it. But I know also Disney changed that.
Yeah, look, I don't know if the later stories will ever be covered by that. But if you look at, say, the Robert Downey Jr. version or the Cumberbatch version, they are kind of just mean pricks.
I guess they've escaped having to pay. Maybe that's why they haven't made that third Sherlock movie, because he went over the waterfall.
That's true, yeah.
But they are talking about making that one at some point, yeah. I didn't mind the second one of that. I didn't like the first one.
So a series of later stories written after World War One, which had an impact on the author. So that makes more sense. So he's more empathetic after World War One,
witnessing horrible atrocities.
Yeah. So apparently they're also suing the author of the books as well.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole
good thing they're backed by Netflix now.
Yeah, for sure.
That's lucky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of Sherlock Holmed out. But I was looking forward to that movie. I'm like, oh, I really like this cast. This could be interesting. So there you go.
They're all wearing fancy
top hats. It's Sherlock never had a sister, and they should sue the pants off them.
That is kind of like, because you know the Cumberbatch version did have a sister.
You did too.
New sister.
You had a crazy sister who could do voices.
Even bigger mind palace. A mind palace like you would not believe. That's... I mean, his Sherlock's mind palace is like a mind trailer, a mind caravan. It's like a mind RV compared to her mind.
If you look at this cast, though, Millie Bobby Brown, Henry Cavill, Sam Claflin, Helena Bonham Carter. That's an absolute bloody cracker, mate. This looks like it could be quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the director, but I
think it'll probably still come out.
September it's supposed to be due out.
Mm.
I don't recognise any of the other stuff that he's done. It looks like he's done like British TV stuff.
Oh, British TV.
Anyway, there you go. Great. Yeah. Back to DC news, Mason. Full DC steam ahead.
All right, here we go. Tooty toot.
Of course, you may know this, but you do know this. The DC Fan Dome event is coming.
I do know that.
Toot toot.
Yep.
August 22nd. And as part of the programming, two of the things that they've put in.
You said DC Fan Dome toot toot, but I think the DC Fan Dome noise should be like the sound of like a wet hand going down glass to symbolize the dome, like a bloody hand, like people are trying
to get
into the dome.
Into the dome? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or out.
Yeah, maybe out. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what they've got in there, their program lineup is Secret Movie 1, Secret Movie 2.
Wow.
So that's cool that they've got two revelations. So
two My Secret Identity movies.
Yes, that's right.
Jerry O'Connell's back.
But he wouldn't do it, so it's his brother again.
And he can't fly anymore because those cans are bad for the environment.
That's true. What could he use instead? He could spit.
I guess he could spit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
no, he can't spit. Not these days.
Oh, yeah, he can't spit.
Yeah.
Why did he think he could spit?
It's ridiculous.
What an idiot.
Do people remember that? My Secret Identity, which is a TV series.
I barely remember it.
Yeah, it was a secret. It was a TV series with Jerry O'Connell of Sliders and Other Things fame.
Piranha 3D.
Stand By Me.
Yep.
And he had various
Kangaroo Jack.
He had various powers, including he could float.
Yes.
And he could also. He was a little bit Alex Mack.
Yeah. But he was super strong, but he was also weightless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a plot hole there.
Yeah, but he would use spray cans to very slowly fly.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff.
Great stuff. Anyway, speculation is like, is it whatever the Flash movie's going to be, Aquaman 2, Man of Steel 2, Green Lantern movie, Supergirl, Cyborg. There's a number of things that they've mentioned they were going to make over the years, which they haven't, so we don't know.
Yeah.
What is a miracle movie. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, New Gods.
That's been announced already. I'm really looking forward to New Gods. Mm. More New Gods, man.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, there you go. Anything that you'd like to see in particular? Would you like to get some confirmation of the Keaton thing maybe?
But they wouldn't announce that as a movie though, would they?
They would if they were like Flashpoint and Keaton.
Oh, yeah, good point, actually. Yeah. Oh, imagine that if they were brought out whoever's going to be the Flash now and then Michael Keaton. People would be very excited.
People are just screaming against the glass. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm.
But anyway, we'll see you on August 22nd. This is from Game Revolution. They've revealed that there is a Fallout series in development based on the Fallout series of games that get progressively worse.
I've heard that.
And the new one in particular.
Bad things. Fallout is that 76? Fallout 76? Yeah,
uh-huh. No, that's atrocious. Uh-huh. I think Internet Historian did a really good video on it where he talks about how all these things that they were going to put in it, and then they just, when they open it up, there's just nothing in the world. And they expected people to, like, make your own fun and story
and adventures. Was Fallout 76 a multiplayer?
Yeah, it's the online whatever.
Oh, I see. Right. And it's atrocious. Okay, yeah, okay.
But also it's one of those things where, like, it's a lot better now, but it's like, well, right. Maybe you should have made
well,
it
that
good.
Happened with things. Didn't it happen with No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky, yeah. He's actually got the same guy. Got another interesting video on that where they just took all the money that they made from it and just for a couple of years just kept
adding
chipping
things.
Away at it. Apparently yeah, it's right. really good, which, I mean, it's kind of disingenuous the way that they released that game, but the fact that they took the time to, they could have gone on to something else
That's
with
true,
the money,
yeah,
but they spent the time to make it better.
With their
than
ill-gotten gains, but they made them regular-gotten yeah. gains.
They also kind of were put in a position where that was slated as this AAA release from Sony, yeah. but it was never supposed to be that.
Is it a case?
And he also lied yeah. a lot about what was in it.
Well, I was going to say, is the problem here that Fallout 76 was, and a lot of these games are just like, we are going to give you this and this and this. Mm. Maybe they should just, I don't know, shut the hell up about it.
Yeah.
And people might just be
pleasantly surprised.
But no, nobody who plays video games is pleasantly surprised.
No, they're certainly not. Not these days. Did you see also NBA 2K is talking about how games are going to be $70 from now on and whatever because they're normally $60 in the US?
Oh, $70 American.
Yeah, and I don't
I
have
was a, like, that's a bargain.
That is a, well, you can get them for about that here if you go to the right place, yeah, about $70. But if you – I don't have a problem with increasing the price of games if you get the game. Like the full game
the disc
with all the stuff.
Yeah.
You'd have to pay anything extra. And yeah. I don't mind like a little DLC story like Spider-Man or whatever that you can pay extra for.
Right.
But if you give me the full game, yeah, I'd pay you a little bit extra for it, definitely.
Yeah, a finished game.
A finished game, you kidding
exactly.
me?
I don't want, yeah, you want the disc and you want everything and you don't want to be surprised a couple of years down the line that they're like, we turned the servers off so you can't play this anymore.
Well, there's that as well. I know it was with the recent, what was it, with Crash Bandicoot Racing Team Race, which I was going to get because apparently it's like a fun little Mario Kart-esque thing. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to get Sonic Racing instead.
Ugh.
Apparently it's all right.
You're going to have to get Mario and Sonic at the Olympics.
Ugh.
That's right.
But I do. I like Mario Kart, which I still use occasionally. But they put in the microtransactions like a week or 2 weeks after the game came out.
Wow.
And that's just really...
That is incredible.
Uncool, man.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway, Fallout. We had Fallout news.
Oh, yeah. No, wait. Did I have another thought about video games? I have so few thoughts about video games. I feel I should...
You got other things on your plate.
Yeah.
You got to fend off all the insults from my son as you walk through the house.
That's right. He said I had a head like a frog. But, I mean, that's because you told him
yes.
to say that I had a head like a frog.
But he said it.
It's true, he did.
But he asked me to tell him, to remind him to tell you.
Oh, earlier, before I got here. Okay, yes. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't say head like a frog. He said looks like a frog.
Okay, right. Well, that's fair, actually.
Yeah. So anyway, if you think of it, jump back in.
I will.
But there's a Fallout series in development for Amazon Prime or Prime Video, whatever the Amazon streaming, whatever the boys is on.
Yep.
Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy developing it. They are, of course, behind Westworld. So Fallout was, well, it still is, but like this really beloved.
As a concept, it's great. I mean, whether the
people love New Vegas,
whether the last few games have been incredible or bad, just the idea of, you know, it's a world in which there was it was like an idyllic 50s world, but then it's destroyed by a nuclear holocaust, but everybody had to go into vaults for decades.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've come out into a ruined 1950s future.
I played the one with Liam Neeson, but then I never got out of the vault. I was walking around and being like, can you get this for me? And I'm like,
get it yourself, Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
You're tall enough to get it off that shelf, Liam Neeson, you monster.
Yeah, but I know, like, they're obviously amazing games. My brother, the one you don't like, was really into that. But New Vegas is apparently amazing. But a lot of those guys went on to make, I think it's The Outer Worlds, which is like a much better version
of Outer Wilds.
Or The Outer Worlds, but I think it's The Outer Worlds. We'll get it corrected regardless. But so, yeah, that's like a Fallout-esque game without all the garbage that they started to put in them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It seems like I like the idea of the world and the aesthetic of the world and all the stuff that goes on. It's like kind of like the movie Blast from the Past.
with Brendan Fraser, yes,
but
exactly.
Post-apocalyptic and
did
whatever.
Did you see the trailer for Foundation?
Which one was that?
A couple of weeks ago. It's based on an Isaac Asimov series of novels and it's about,
I did see this.
It's set in sort of like a global empire, you know, thousands of years in the future.
It's on Apple, right?
Yeah, it might be the one that gets me to get Apple TV. Finally.
Just buy a new phone and then you get it for a year.
I don't want to get a new phone.
Just buy, it's as easy as that.
Oh my God.
Just shell out a couple of grand, mate.
Oh, God. But basically, it's like this. It's this epic saga. You know, it's many. It was a book in the 50s, and then there were sequels, and then there were prequels up until like the 90s. So it's been like it was sort of this Isaac Asimov, and you would like it because it's set in the iRobot-iverse. Set in the same universe.
I don't like the iRobot movie.
No, you do though. You love that movie.
I didn't really like it.
No, well, that's a shame.
But anyway, it's
basically about a guy and he
invents... I like his shoes.
Well, that's the shoes that they wear exclusively vintage 2004 Converse or whatever in the Foundation.
I don't mind that movie actually.
But basically it's about there's this big galactic empire that's been around for, you know, 10,000-ish years and there's a scientist who predicts he builds a new model of mathematics that can predict the future, and he basically figures out that in a few hundred years the whole empire is going to collapse for 30,000 years, and he's got to find a way to stop that.
Okay,
but everybody's like, no, you're really messing with our vibe here.
Yeah, right. That. Okay.
You know, we like things as they are.
But is it a good thing that if the empire dissolved, is that like the point? Or is like maybe it's
no, it'd be like a 30,000 year dark age.
Oh, okay,
so like
right.
Everything would suck.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if we figure this out, the dark age won't last as long. And
yeah.
It looks good.
And we'll all have Converse shoes.
Yes, exactly.
Figure out what the next hot brand is going to be.
That's right.
That's
pretty good.
I saw the trailer for that because it was mostly like a behind the scenes making of element of it as well.
Right.
Or was that a different video that I watched?
Something else you watched.
Yeah, but it looks like the money that looks like they put into that is amazing.
It has some people that I enjoy whose names I could not recall for $1 billion.
Wow, let me check that out for you right now, Mason.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jared Harris.
And Lee Pace is in it.
Lee Pace, that's
right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Jared Harris.
Terrence Mann.
Jared Harris is one of those famous that guys.
Oh, he's such a
that guy. Maybe he's been in a Sherlock Holmes, maybe.
Yeah, he was Moriarty in something.
There we go.
Or Sherlock Holmes in something.
Maybe he's been both.
Yeah.
If he's British, he's been both.
Was he Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr. ones?
I think maybe he was like one of Moriarty's henchmen or something.
Okay.
Or like an evil doctor.
Okay.
Might have been an evil doctor.
No, he was Moriarty.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
He
would look like a rightful.
Yeah. I was speaking of The Boys you mentioned earlier. Did you see the season 2 trailer stuff?
I did, yeah.
Looks good.
That's right. So bloody Back to the Future's out and the guy from Breaking Bad is in.
Giancarlo Esposito
is right, yeah.
in. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And we saw a first look of Aya Cash's Stormfront. Who's she's very much like, hey, I'm on Instagram, everybody.
Yeah,
check
right.
Check this out, I'm on Instagram Live.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
It's fun because it's like real life.
Would that be a play on the start of Justice League, or do you think that's just a coincidence?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's always subverting expectations,
that's
that
true.
Show. In a good way.
Yeah, because she's sort of like holding Homelander up to the, you know, the feet to the fire and being like, I'm on the team now.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Exactly.
You dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. We haven't really seen any updates to what the actual boys are up to, though.
What are the boys up to?
Probably putting bombs up people's bums.
Yeah. I enjoyed the laser vision baby just cutting people in half.
Yeah, right.
That was a lot. So
if we have just another one of those,
yeah, they all get one.
Yeah,
Terrific stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking forward to that coming back. What else have we got? This is from Christopher Miller, who you might know as involved in the Spider-Verse movies.
One half of Lord and
One half of the development of the new groundbreaking art techniques being done on the next Spider-Verse movie are already blowing me away. It's going to make the first movie look quaint.
Oh,
there you go. So that's exciting. I mean, he's not going to say the opposite. He'll be like, this looks way worse. This is subpar.
I mean, we tried to make this better than the previous one, but I mean, we kind of peaked. So it's all kind of downhill, I'll be honest with you.
It's definitively going to be worse and you're not going to like it as much. But anyway, please go and see it. So anyway, it's not really news, but it's just like, it's good to know that it's still happening.
Did we see news this week that Clone High is coming back? Did he create Clone High?
Yeah, a reboot.
Did Lord and Miller create
Clone High? They did do Clone High. I never saw Clone High, but apparently it's
great,
right? I saw little
bits and snippets of it. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll watch that.
There's some community people in Clone High as well, isn't there?
Will Forte was in it.
Okay.
He's not from Clone High, but...
You know, from Community, man?
Yes.
I think there was. Or maybe even like some special guests and things like that.
Maybe
there isn't. Oh, Turk from Scrubs is in it.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a little animated series, sort of in the style of your Dexter's Laboratory,
like
that kind of look.
Oh, this is why I haven't seen it really, because it came out in 2002, and it was much harder to steal things off the internet in 2002.
Oh, it definitely was. Yeah, and it's a high school where a whole bunch of historical figures have been cloned, and now they're teens, like John F. Kennedy and Lincoln and Joan of Arc and Gandhi and stuff like that.
Hot stuff. Terrific.
Very hot these days.
Oh, mate, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Deadline are reporting that Nickelodeon are again rebooting the TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for the biggest screen. So
the biggest screen, yes. Is that what we're calling it now?
It's going to be CG animated. I don't know whether it was always going to be, but I think maybe lockdown might have shifted in another direction. I'm guessing. I don't know that for a fact. But it's going to be Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and James Weaver producing.
Okay.
And it's also going to be from the director, Jeff Rowe, who worked on Gravity Falls. So there you go.
Oh, well, I like all those names. Yeah, I know, right? Why am I tired of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I'm always up for a new version
a
of
new
that.
A new attempt of that,
but
yeah.
I kind of just want to see the like, guys in suits again, like the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could
just
tweak.
In the old suits from the 80s, they've just rotted away.
Yeah, just rotted away. Just seeing the gears shifting around their heads.
Yeah,
Or like a mix where you do a bit of a CGI blend to make it more lifelike. But there was something about that movie that was just so, like, visceral and dangerous, but in a way that was, like, okay for kids. Yeah. I don't know whether I'd show my kid now that movie, or maybe when he's a couple of years older, because there's, like, smoking and people fall into garbage trucks. But there was something about that movie that...
Were the two things linked? Probably. You could say as a lesson. You
definitely
like,
could.
Listen, buddy, if you smoke cigarettes, you will fall into a garbage truck and Elias Koteas will crush you to death.
Or you'll have a wonderful acting career like Sam Rockwell. So,
yeah. Oh, that's a really good point, actually.
It's a really good point.
Yeah,
but there's... It's kind of one of those kids' movies, and I don't mean to this in a way of like, and it's because it's society and it's gone insane. Like, they don't really make kids' movies that dark anymore.
Yeah.
And because this even got criticized at the time for being like that, and that's why the tone of those movies shifted so much.
Especially in the second one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's something about that movie that, it was independent as well, so they just were
I mean, I guess it was kind of lightning in a bottle in that way. And there was it was a thing that was so immediately and immensely popular that they sort of had the juice to just push it through. Like,
yeah.
But, I guess you couldn't do that now.
It's pretty great.
Society, you know?
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Just a little update.
I love updates.
In the second season, Jerry O'Connell gained the ability to move through the air without the use of aerosol cans.
So he's going to be all right, isn't he?
So I guess maybe I didn't see those episodes.
No, I don't think we got those here. I only ever saw the...
Oh, no, but it says later in that season, after being struck by the photon beam a second time, photon beam origin, Andrew develops superhuman strength but loses his invulnerability. So
well, that's not a good combination because you need
maybe
the
we just
strength
saw, maybe
to
we just got random episodes.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah,
because I remember him being like the bullies would hit him and he'd be like, "I'm invincible, dickhead."
Whoa!
Who was the scientist in that?
The scientist was Derek McGrath.
I have no idea who that is.
Nope, don't know.
Okay, I just remember it being like a Doc Brown kind of guy, but that's
clearly not
even close. You never guess my secret identity. Great show.
It's Jerry O'Connell. Also, did he even wear a mask?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he had a persona. Mm. So shut up, my secret identity.
Also, he was
always... should have been called Aerosol Boy.
Aerosol Boy.
Yeah.
It's close to Arsehole Boy, though, isn't it? I'm not against it. I'm just saying that's probably why they didn't know
it. That's why they'd call him that, the kids on the playground. He'd be like, "I'm Aerosol Boy." And they'd be like, "Really? Come on."
This whole recurring... my secret identity thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. There's one person out there who's just like, this is my jam. This is they remember exactly how much of it as we do.
There's two people out there. There's exactly my jam guy, and there's the guy who's like, how dare you disrespect my favorite show, My Secret Identity. None of that was true, what you're saying.
Those guys should fight.
Yeah.
But I back the guy who's more like us.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Last bit of news, this was an IGN exclusive reveal.
Oh.
Alien Predator and Alien versus Predator, which kind of goes without saying, has now moved over to Marvel.
What if they split them
printing
up?
Printing comics,
They split up Alien and Predator and they weren't allowed to be in the same universe anymore.
Like two Jerry O'Connell fans.
Exactly, that's right. Okay. Who would you back?
Well, the one that was more like me, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Who'd you pick?
Predator.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
laser gun.
It's safe. Because it's like one Predator versus one alien, it's not...
No, it's not
need a bunch
contest.
Of aliens or like a super alien or whatever, what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I didn't realize that Dark Horse was still printing them. I mean, I knew they were, but it didn't occur to me that they don't own any of those properties anymore.
Yeah, right. So I guess they're still reprinting. I imagine they'll still be able to reprint like maybe they can't.
But Dark Horse have done a lot of really good stuff with that property. Even recently, there's been some pretty decent alien stuff that they've been putting out. So I don't think the quality is going to drop heading over at Marvel. I think we're just going to get some different ideas. And one of the images that they released was one was just of the alien. Another one was the Predator holding the Iron Man head. It looks like it maybe had a spine in it.
Yeah, right.
So I think we'll probably eventually get those kind of crossovers, but it might not happen immediately.
No, but I mean, you know, that we've had years of Batman versus Predator and Superman versus Aliens and Green Lantern versus all of them and all that sort of stuff.
So. Batman versus Superman's Aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I wonder also if eventually we could get that stuff bleeding over into any of the live action stuff or even some animated stuff.
You know what we never got, even though Dark Horse and had those licenses. We never got Star Wars versus Aliens. We never got Die Hard versus Aliens.
That would have been good.
Because Fox owned them all. I mean, Disney owns them all now. We'll never get it now.
Or even like Die Hard versus Terminator, like a Terminator arrives in the building. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because that's what I've been reading. This isn't for what we're reading, so I can talk about it now.
You're allowed.
I don't want to step on myself.
Yeah.
But the Terminators versus Transformers. I'll be watching that. They jump into the timeline and they mess up like the Transformers origin.
Oh.
Yeah. It's good. It's been two issues.
Wow.
It's good.
I didn't know that existed. I've talked about it before. I wasn't listening
then. That's fine. It only recently came back because of the, you know, they didn't print comics for a while. So yeah, it's good. It's only been two, but it's been good so far.
I only have one more piece of news.
I love news.
I mean, it's not so much news.
Is it personal news? Because this is not for the show, really. You can tell me after the show and I'll tell you whether or not it's for the show.
Oh, right. This is superhero news.
Okay, cool.
Did you see that there's a company called Prop Store and they sell old props from movies and TV shows?
Okay, right, yeah.
And they're selling off all the Netflix Marvel stuff.
Oh, my God. So how much is a thing?
What kind of thing are you talking about?
Anything.
Okay, so like if you wanted, there's like three Daredevil suits up on there. So if you want one of those, starting bid's like 10 grand. I think some people have already bid it on those. You can get Jessica Jones' sandwich costume.
Sandwich costume?
You know, there's a scene in one episode of Jessica Jones where she's a sandwich mascot.
I don't remember that at all.
Before she's a detective and somebody's like, get off the road, you stupid sandwich.
Hey, get off the road, you stupid sandwich.
Anyway, you can buy that if you want.
See, I don't know if this Charlie Cox Daredevil outfit would fit me. Maybe I'll get the Luke Cage hoodie. That'd fit me, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd fit you and your entire family.
Oh, this Daredevil suit looks so good.
Yeah, right? You can get that. You can get, like, Kingpin suits. You can get, like, all sorts
of
stuff.
You can get the size. What's her name, size?
Elektra size, yeah. So much stuff there.
I'd want to get the season 2 Daredevil helmet.
There's nothing I would really particularly want, but it's just nice.
Get the robot arm.
You can get Misty Knight's robot arm.
Now, you can get Elektra's bloody murdered outfit, the one that she was stabbed in.
That's a lot of blood there.
And it comes with the size.
Yeah.
That's
good. You can tell that's real blood. Yeah, you can tell it's not real blood because it's red and it's dried.
Oh, yeah.
Like real blood goes brown.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
Oh, you can get Iron Fist.
Idiots. You can get it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Jessica Jones's outfit just looks like an outfit that my wife would wear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, that's a dig at my wife, by the way, just in case people were wondering. Oh, my God, you can get this guy. Remember this outfit? You fought Luke Cage. You look like a G.I. Joe villain. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, like Copperhead.
Copperhead, that's right.
Or the other guy, Diamondback.
Yeah, Diamondback.
The final battle outfit, which looked it just the worst, that was atrocious. Honestly. And I know it was comic book accurate to some degree, but it looked so bad.
Bad.
Just do something else. Do anything else.
Yeah, do anything else.
Yeah. You can get, if you want, you can buy Luke Cage's you can get the barbershop chairs and stuff.
Oh, but
you can
that's
also
cool.
get like the power generation chamber that he had his origin in.
The whole thing.
It's on there. Yeah, you can buy it.
They're really not making any more of this stuff, are they?
Well, they would never need those again.
No, I guess they wouldn't.
And also, like, as I understand it, even if they were to do another season of Daredevil or whatever, they'd build all new suits anyway.
Yeah.
So, because they just do, because they all get, like, shop-worn and then scraped on the ground and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but that's what I want.
Yeah.
Want scraped on the ground suit.
Yeah.
I reckon me and Charlie Cox are like the exact same size. I could fit into his Daredevil suit.
You just said you couldn't fit into his Daredevil suit.
I was just joking. I think we're exactly the same size.
Well.
We're definitely not. But what if we were?
You might be.
I don't know.
I don't think he's that tall.
He's built bigger than me, I'd imagine. Let me check.
We can put padding in the suit. We get, you know, those little shoulder pads. We just put them everywhere in the suit. We sell them all in.
He's 178, so he might be a couple of centimetres. What am I?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I might be about that.
Your regular normal person height,
I don't know if I am. I think I'm bigger than most, don't you think?
No.
I'm 6'4". Everyone knows that.
It's not true.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. It's good to be talking about HelloFresh again, Mason.
They're back. Goodness. I'm very excited about it.
Welcome back, Fresh.
Welcome back, Fresh.
Yes. Because HelloFresh offers so many recipes to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut.
That's a great idea.
And it's great for quarantine, do you know what I mean? You want something new, you want something hot and fresh, you want to try some new recipes.
Exactly.
The way to do it.
You don't want to make it. So, you know, oftentimes it's like, well, I'll make a huge thing and then I'll eat it every day for a week. That combined with staying indoors, you go mad.
You'll die.
HelloFresh, you can get a bunch of them. Get the correct amount.
That's right.
For every meal, you can have a new one every night.
Funny you should mention that because, yes, they do pre-proportioned ingredients, which means there's less prep and less food waste. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've got too much dill or whatever. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. You don't have too much dill.
Yeah. There's also something for everybody, including low-calorie, vegetarian, family-friendly recipes every week. And also, if you do want to change your delivery days or food preferences or skip a week, you can do that whenever you want. You're not locked in. Perfecto?
Perfecto.
Speaking of perfecto, Mason, yes. How does prosciutto roasted chicken sound to you with creamy parsnip mash and thyme mushroom sauce?
That sounds perfecto.
Well, I've already had it, and let me tell you, it was perfecto.
Did you save some for me?
I didn't, Mason. I ate it.
I guess it's perfectly proportioned, so there's no leftovers for me. But that's okay. I can make my own.
That's exactly it. And here's the thing, though. If people listening to this are interested, they can actually go to HelloFresh.com/80, as in 80, Weekly Planet, and use code 80, Weekly Planet, to get a total of $80 off. That includes free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions do apply, but please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. That's HelloFresh.com/80, Weekly Planet, and use code 80, Weekly Planet.
That is a tremendous amount of
$80.
Of meals, yeah, for $80.
Yeah. Incredible. On with the show?
Yes.
Incredible, though.
Very much incredible.
Incredible. It's always fun to stumble upon a show where you're like, this is pretty good. I mean, people talked about it being pretty good, and then you're watching and you're like, hey, it was pretty good.
That is fun. It's even more fun, you know, people just saying, watch the show. You must watch the show.
Yes, that's
right. It's good. Everyone is telling you it's good.
Exactly.
You're less being stumbled upon the show and more being shoved face first into the show.
Right into it, yeah.
And initially you're like, but I don't. This makes me hate the idea of it, the very idea of it.
Well, before this, we were just talking about Hamilton. I'm like, you're going to watch Hamilton? And you're like, I'm sick of it already. I'm sick of hearing about it. You've had a goddamn.
Yeah.
It's up to here, even though it's good.
All right, if you say
I've seen it live, Mason.
Well, then me seeing it on the idiot box, mate, its experience is not going to be the same, is it?
That may not be the case. But
was there an intermission when you went?
Yes.
Did you get snacks?
No, I don't normally do that. I just kind of stand around on my phone, and I go on my phone, and I was on my own because I was in LA by myself. So, and then I went back in and I finished the show while the guy next to me intermittently got on his phone. And I'm like, come on, this isn't
during the performance.
Yeah, I'm like, this isn't the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, Love Never Dies. This is serious theatre.
That's right.
You're making a mockery, but I still loved it. Anyway, we're not talking about that because we are going to talk about the Harley Quinn animated TV series. It's just wrapped up its second season. And both of us just literally jumped on board to
it. The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a great show.
I heard it, I heard it was good. I'd seen clips. I wasn't really sure how I was going to get it at some point. I ended up doing a VPN and a bunch of other stuff to get it. And shotgunning it, for me, it was a really nice way to kind of to get through it. It didn't feel like it dragged. It's like 22-minute episodes. There's 26 in total, is that right?
Something like
that, yeah. I think it's one of those things where if you love the Batman animated series from the 90s.
Yes.
Well, first of all, with the same creators, because Paul Dini and Bruce Timm created this as well as that. I feel like it's one of those, it's a great throwback to that as well as being its own thing.
It feels like when Hanna-Barbera decided to do an evolution of all their old shows like Space Ghost. And,
yes. Birdman
and all that sort of stuff. And they've brought it into the modern day and they've decided to sort of revel in all the tropes and make fun of them, but also it's kind of a nice homage, but also it's based on a series that was good initially,
yes,
as opposed to the Hanna-Barbera stuff, which sucked initially.
Yeah.
And the only way to go is up. So in a
it
way...
It has its fans.
Yeah, no fans of ours.
Whoa.
I don't know if that's true.
That's exactly the comparison I've written here. It does have that Harvey Birdman kind of vibes for the... Seven people.
I know, I'm mirroring your screen, so I know exactly.
Oh, that's how you know, okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know you could easily go like, oh, this is DC but Rick and Morty. Oh, this is if Deadpool was Harley Quinn or whatever. But it doesn't, to me, Harvey Birdman is like the most kind of apt comparison to me. And I also think the voice cast, because I recognize kind of voices in and out like through it.
And there's definitely, you know, there are changes. And I imagine a lot of the pushback against this series, if indeed there was any when it started, is that we don't have the original Harley Quinn.
No.
We don't have the original Batman or Joker.
No. Though Diedrich Bader has voiced him before.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So Kaley Cuoco was Harley Quinn.
Yes.
I like that she hasn't just gone, I'll just do the 90s voice, which I feel like a lot of the time Margot Robbie feels like it's an impersonation of that. It's its own thing. I feel like there's kind of more subtlety to the character that she's
and
put
the accent doesn't necessarily have to be a part of the character.
No, yeah. Absolutely not.
Although I think it did throw me initially.
Okay.
But yeah.
Just being different.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't like it. Anything different.
I also like that she wouldn't really have to do the show because she'd be a multi-billionaire. They were getting $400 million a minute to do Big Bang towards
That's
the end
true.
Of that
yeah,
series,
uh-huh.
you know.
Yeah,
so yeah. I like it when they can come on board and do this because it means like it's something that they want to do and want to be involved in.
Exactly. You sort of know that it's a it's often a mark of quality.
Mm.
Like when you think about Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Bryan Cranston had done many years of Malcolm in the Middle and
some Seinfeld.
Exactly. Barring, you know,
he was some of the monsters on Power Rangers.
That's true. He was yeah. the original. Was he something to do with Zordon?
He was
Zordon in the movie.
Yeah, he was the Zordon in the movie, but he was in the original show
as some,
well.
Some of the voices. Yeah. That's why he came back. Yeah. So barring like multiple divorces or a drug problem, he would never have to go back to TV unless he wanted to. And I guess that's the same case here. Yeah,
exactly.
But the voice cast is incredible.
We've
got two Seinfeld alums, speaking of Seinfeld.
Yes, we do, yeah.
Jason Alexander is in it as Harley's landlord.
Yep. Cyborgman.
Yes, which I didn't get until I finished watching the show.
Wow.
He's an old man who's also a cyborg.
I only got it just now. No, I got it immediately because it was really obvious. Mason.
Wow.
Lake Bell, Poison Ivy. Alan Tudyk I really like as the Joker.
Well, it's big shoes to fill, isn't it?
It absolutely is, but it's also, it's not a Mark Hamill impression, but I can't, but it just fits perfectly in this world, you know, and he does a few voices in it as well. Tony Hale. I really like Diedrich Bader's Batman, and what I like about Batman in this is even though it's silly and they kind of poke fun at him and all that, he's still Batman. Like
yes.
he's 100% Batman. You know, he's not incompetent. Like he's not a fool. Like they make fun of him, you know, but he's not a complete dumbass. Do you know what I mean? And the same with the Justice League. Like, Superman is Superman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is Wonder Woman. Yeah. Ron Funches is
King Shark.
King Shark, yeah. Who I think is really great. Also, a lot I like about King Shark and Clayface, the two of the characters that they've actually changed quite a lot. But I think it works as they make Clayface this thespian.
Changes have been made to what they seem to have done is sort of drawn various influences from various versions of a bunch of characters. Like, there's elements of this, you know, that are. Speaking of Superman, there's references to the Phantom Zone that are clearly kind of Christopher Reeve movie references, and there's some solid references from like the 1960s Batman TV series and all that sort of stuff. And so Clayface is sort of he is the original Clayface.
Mm.
Well, it's never said explicitly who was just an actor, a failed actor who turned to murder.
But
now he has all the Clayface powers. But this one is like super flamboyant and just.
He's always trying out a new character and.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When he transforms into another person, it's not just for. He goes method with it.
Yeah.
When he becomes a sorority girl, he gets obsessed with texting and boys.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you get like Aquaman, he's kind of like Thor-ish. Which is what he often is in the comics as well, is this like high and mighty kind of. Yeah.
But he's not, again, the show does skip the talking to fish jokes for the most part.
Yeah.
There's a few in there.
Because what do you say?
Well, exactly.
Really,
but it's also
point.
Like they also portray him as a competent Aquaman.
Yeah.
He's not Jason Momoa, but he is also, you know, he can walk into a meeting of the Legion of Doom and just hand their asses to him because he's, you know, super powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also enjoy, I think, probably one of my favorite characters. I'm looking at these and I'm like, I like all of these. There's no one here that I don't like, but the utterly broken Jim Gordon and having Christopher Maloney voice him is perfect. I don't even think I realized
he's utterly broken from so many seasons on Law and Order SVU.
But if you look at like Happy,
yeah.
a show that he was on where he plays like a burnt out detective or failed detective, whatever it is. Yeah, it's just that vibe is perfect for like a Jim Gordon who's just desperate to be loved and just an alcoholic and his marriage is failing and he wants to be a hero but everyone hates him. And it's just, it's really great.
And on the villain side, you have James Adomian as Bane.
Yes.
Who is sort of...
Oh, he's incredible.
Speaking of... They've taken elements from everything.
Yeah.
He's got the look of the Batman and Robin Bane.
Yes.
And he's got the Tom Hardy voice.
Yes.
And
the pit, I guess.
Yeah, there's a
Dark Knight Rises than anything.
But he's sort of they've given him a personality to match the voice.
Yes.
Which is he's kind of
People
don't take him seriously. He wants to be a big league villain.
Yeah.
But most people just see him as a sidekick who's been, like, he started out as a big name, but he's sort of been beaten down by Batman so many times that he's just a sidekick. He drives a Volvo.
Yeah.
Like, he's just sent out for people's, you know, coffee orders and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And putting Jim Rash in as the Riddler's a great idea, and how his story progression is mostly that he gets more jacked as the series progresses for some reason. I think is a really fun idea. And Lex Luthor as well, speaking of Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito is great.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like that cool, calm, calculated Lex
Luthor. And that Lex Luthor is basically the exact same Lex Luthor as the animated Superman Adventures, the Justice League.
Absolutely,
comic.
Yeah.
They've just gone, well, mate, that was a good one. Just put him in there.
Just essentially do that again, yeah. So it is, for those who haven't seen it, we'll do minor spoilers. We're not going to spoil everything because I'm sure there's a lot of people that haven't seen this, but it really captures all the core elements of every character really well. It starts off of kind of this low-key Gotham kind of story, and then it slowly expands as it goes, and you get weirder and bigger characters, and it goes interdimensional, and all these kinds of things start happening as it progresses. So it just ramps up, it gets more and more insane, which you kind of get hints at in the Batman animated series, but it didn't kind of branch out until it was the Superman series and the Justice League, and they started merging the worlds together more.
Yeah, it's like a Super Friends episode. If they were just allowed to do anything.
Yes.
Like if they were allowed to just drop as many F-bombs as you want. Just put in as much blood as you want.
Yeah.
Just,
it's funny though, because it doesn't feel like it's trying to be crass, like, oh, this is so in your face.
Although it often is.
Yes.
Like, you don't show your kids this.
No, definitely not.
I mean,
no.
You specifically, James, do not show your children this. Do not show your four-year-old and your newborn baby.
There is a lot of blood and violence and swearing, but yeah, you'd almost, by the look of it, and also a lot of the show, it plays also like a really good kids show as well.
And you also, you learn quite quickly that no one is safe in this universe because it's a different continuity to everything else.
And it's sort of
your faves may not survive.
It almost could be a sequel to the animated series. Almost. Yeah. It doesn't. Like, it doesn't line up, but yeah.
It kind of does. I mean, they mentioned there are references to things that happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
That works out. Yeah, when did the animated series start?
I had an exact example of why it doesn't work.
Oh,
I can't remember why.
Well, let's keep your negativity out of this, shall we?
Yeah, but no, it definitely is its own thing. But it's interesting you said about what it does to a bunch of characters, because it kills people that you wouldn't expect. For example, like, there's some major villains, or spoil one because the clip has been revealed, that the Joker just fries Scarecrow, just melts him dead.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And there's a few others that get like seriously maimed or injured or killed.
Cockney Scarecrow also.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's also, what I also really loved about it is that there's the introduction of, this is also a show that I'm sure a bunch of people are on board and they're like, we know it's great.
Yeah, I mean,
we know.
Exactly. This has been going for, as we said,
two seasons. Yeah.
And what we've been doing over in Australia is just waiting for it to appear on anything.
Yeah.
But it hasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were forced to take matters into our own hands.
That's right. And don't regret it.
Travel to America. we took a 24-hour flight. We went to America.
That's right. We made it happen. Mm. What I also really enjoyed is when it would introduce characters like Queen of Fables and Dr. Trap.
Yes.
I haven't heard of these characters. I wasn't reading comics when these characters were kind of came through and they disappeared.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So every time a character would appear that I didn't know, which didn't happen that often, Mason, because I'm a massive fan.
You're a big true fan of comics.
But
books.
I'm
this
like,
is the show for you.
Yeah. But I'm like, Queen of Fables, Google it. Yeah, it's a character that existed that they bring back. Same with, like, Dr. Trap. Is this like a knockoff Riddler they invented for the show? No.
He's
real.
He's
a guy with a real metal jaw.
Mm.
I think that's great that the lore that they dig into from history, I think, is really, really interesting. And then you'll just get a character like Kite Man, who has always been a joke, is suddenly a major player in this series for some reason.
Yeah, right,
Yeah, which I think is really great. Also, I love
because Harley has had to put together a she, you know, this is the, it's a story as old as time.
Mm.
By that I mean since the animated series, that Harley is the thrust of this series is Harley's broken up with the Joker for good this time.
Yeah.
And she She don't get no respect.
No.
She's Rodney Dangerfielding it out there, and she's got to get together a crew, a new crew, to become a real supervillain and not as people think of her as a sidekick. So yeah. It's Poison Ivy and Clayface, as mentioned, King Shark, Dr. Psycho,
yeah. Who's the voice of that guy?
That's Tony Hale.
Okay, right, yeah. And there is also references to, like, because I saw the controversy before the Snyder Cut was being released. One of them was wearing a Release the Snyder Cut T-shirt in the episode, and people were like, was this kind of poking fun at DC fans? I don't think so. I think it was just like a fun little nod.
Do you mean the episode where it's bookended by the two terrible DC fans?
Yes.
I think that is poking fun at DC fans.
But I think it pokes fun at everybody, though. I don't think it's like, you know, because it does things that a normal cartoon wouldn't. Like, it's trying, like, it does some things that some people would also consider offensive in other ways. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Also, what's great about that episode is it's completely Batman-centric, which is cool, you know, because you can explore other stories in it. And just even the idea that you can see, like, Themyscira, you can see Apocalypse and this version of Darkseid and what's he like. And it's like, oh, it's still Darkseid, you know, he's still a lunatic. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think my favorite episode, I think if you're looking for one to jump off or on to.
The first episode?
Yeah, sure. The first episode is good, but where it really kind of kicked into gear for me was the one where Harley was looking to get a new nemesis and Robin shows up. And it's not Dick Grayson Robin, who's not in this series, I believe,
No, he's not.
It's Damian Wayne keeps coming in and trying to be the foil for Harley Quinn. And I think that's such a fun idea that he's like, you're my nemesis. And she's like, I don't want to fight a little kid. I don't want to be your nemesis. Yeah, and it's Jacob Tremblay as well is Robin,
Is
a really good. He's in Good Boys. He's in.
I know the show, but I haven't seen it.
No, it's a movie, so you don't know it.
Well, I don't know it then. I've heard those two words together then. Will that make you happy?
You've seen him in things.
All right.
Yeah. The other part of this movie, the other part of this series.
Oh, the other movie.
Look, I haven't watched it, all right?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
The other big part of this series, which only develops more of the second series, is the relationship between Poison Ivy and Harley. Mm. That's something that they've explored more in the comics, that they end up in a relationship together. And initially, it just looks like they're going to be friends, but I think it does a really good idea of naturally, like, progressing that relationship throughout the series, you know. And I'm sure there'd be people like, it's a forced agenda, et cetera, and whatever. But it didn't feel like that to me at all. For one, there is history for it in the comics, and that's true. Think it's a really great progression.
But they would say that's also a forced agenda.
Sure, yeah.
There's nothing.
But there are people of different sexualities, is my point.
Well, that sounds like a forced agenda to me.
Yeah. But I don't know, I think what I liked about that relationship was it started as like a friendship from a genuine place.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And they established that and I'm like, oh, okay, so they're going in a different direction. They're not going to do the same thing that they've been doing in a lot of versions of the comics. But then when it kind of evolved into that, I thought that was really fun. And, you know, they spent some time together on Themyscira in one particular episode, and the Themyscira has been changed to this bizarre like resort, like spa situation, which was really fun. No, I think about it, I guess it is directly poking fun at Release the Snyder Cut.
It really is, yeah.
I don't know, but it didn't feel, I don't know, people didn't get too torn up about that, did they?
But I don't care about those people. I mean, maybe, but I wasn't paying attention, so.
I just think people get offended by everything these days, you know what I mean, Mason?
That's true.
And it's SJWs and all of those things, and things have gone fully run mad.
That's true. Okay. My favourite moment in the series is probably the crew show up at Mr. Freeze's hideout, and he emerges from the shadows, and Clayface screams out, "Lady Gaga!" That's who he thinks it is.
That's a great Mr. Freeze episode.
Yeah.
You introduce Nora as like a proper character as well.
That's true, yeah.
Which is really fun, yeah. Mm. All the villains are handled really well, I feel, in this, except Killer Croc, which doesn't get enough play. I'm just kidding. I don't really remember or care how much he plays into the story. But it does end on a bit of a cliffhanger because there's like a the end question mark.
Yeah.
But it seems like we are getting a season three though. So this is going to be something I'm going to try and watch weekly next time it rolls around. Because this was a really genuinely pleasant surprise. And to me, one of the best things that DC have done in recent memory, like across everything.
Everything, yeah. You're right.
Like a lot of their movies I really like and some of them not so much. And the same with the animated stuff. But this is definitely well up there. And it's interesting that they haven't got this team together to do any of the live action movie stuff yet, you know?
Well, I guess that's true. But I mean, you know, maybe there's still that TV stigma. I mean, surely yeah. not.
But they've created like the some of the best Batman stuff, you know, and some of the best characters, or recreated them.
Maybe
you know?
They don't want to do it.
Well, maybe they don't. Yeah,
that's often yeah. a stumbling block. They'd be like, "Hey, do you want to do whatever you want on television, or do you want to do a movie and everyone in the world hates you briefly or forever?
Or forever, yeah." But look, I understand why they'd get Geoff Johns, and I also understand why he'd do it. But if you look at a lot of the things in Batman in particular that have stuck around, a lot of it comes from that series. Yeah. And I know that series also is, in a way, a spin-off of the Burton movie. It's not a spin-off, but you know what I mean? It branches off that. But really, if you look at what they've done to a lot of those characters, it's worked its way into the movies and into all of the media. You know, Harley Quinn wasn't a character before that series. Mr. Freeze was just a guy with a freeze gun, you know? And that's the reason he was in Batman and Robin. I mean, that's the reason for the freezing. I mean, they fucked it up. But, you know, these guys are the reason for the freezing, but also the reason for a lot of particular changes that have been made to these characters. I don't know. That's true. But, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they don't want to do it. Maybe there's more freedom in doing this where you can take a universe and you can melt Scarecrow's face and it doesn't matter.
That's true, yeah.
You know? So there you go. Anyways, if you haven't seen it, you should totally watch it. You should give it a chance. How many episodes should they give it a chance?
All the episodes.
But what if
they... you're not in it, but I mean, you know, I feel like the standard rule is if you're not feeling it by like episode four,
yeah,
you probably give up. But she's, you know, by episode four, she's gotten the bloody crew together.
Yep.
Dr. Psycho has shamed himself by calling Wonder Woman the C-bomb on television.
That's right, yeah. The universe is set in stone at that point. It's set in motion would probably be a better way to put it. Yeah. And if you have seen it, we should watch it again then, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it again?
Yeah, eventually.
Well, then there you go.
Wow.
Be like Mason, watch it again. I'm not going to watch it again. I'm going to watch other things.
Interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, I can't wait for the next season. It was really great to be able to go, oh, there's 26 episodes of this. Awesome. So, yeah, there you go. That's this show. Watch it if you haven't.
Oh, also, there's the Penguin Bar Mitzvah episode in the first three as well. So.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Are we up to the next segment of the show?
We are.
Do you know what it is, though?
Is it what we're reading?
Yeah.
What are we going to read?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, probably not a lot because I just watched 26 episodes of Harley Quinn. But, you know.
But, you know, we'll think of something.
Think of something, yeah.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? You didn't hear nothing.
Oh, I heard it.
What are we Westworlding today, Mason?
I don't know. I've been watching Harley Quinn all week.
So. Of course you have, yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't have a... I mean,
it's what are we reading, I should specify. It's where we talk about what we're reading or watching or going to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my book on the go.
Mm.
I have been watching that show, Marcella, which is a...
Oh, you've been enjoying that, haven't you?
One of those dark, sad, Icelandic style, I was going to say comedies, but murder mystery kind of shows.
And you watched Hamilton.
No.
You're going to watch Hamilton.
I'm not
going to
watch Hamilton.
He's watching Hamilton. That's
Maybe I should
speak.
Watch Hamilton. All right, I'll watch Hamilton.
You should watch Hamilton.
It's on Disney Plus, right?
Do you have somebody you could watch it with who loves musicals other than me?
No. No.
You don't know people in your life who like musicals.
Why would I watch it with them?
Because it's supposed to be like a crowd experience.
Oh, okay, right. We'll get some white wines.
Get some
watch Hamilton.
White wines.
Look, I could watch Hamilton or I could watch Warrior Nun, I guess.
Yeah, what's that? What's the deal with that?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Oh, it's... Oh, God, no.
You're auto-playing something?
I don't want to auto-play it, God.
Warrior Nun.
Okay, I'm back. After waking up in a morgue, an orphan teen discovers she now possesses superpowers as the chosen halo bearer for a secret sect of demon-hunting nuns. Well, that does sound very Netflix.
85% Rotten Tomatoes?
Okay.
That's not bad. Again, not indicative of et cetera and so forth.
Yeah.
Oh, it's based on a comic book.
Oh.
From 1994.
What about Eurovision? Oh, God, why are you doing this phone? I hate you.
Maybe you should get a new Apple phone.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to.
So, but I started Eurovision. It was all right. I heard it's one of those things where I think I listened to a Mark Kermode review who I really like.
Uh-huh.
He said something like, if you like Eurovision, you're going to really be like, this kind of nails it without making fun of it.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of, because Eurovision, it is, even people who love it, like it's absurd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why they love it.
I've heard, I think most of the reviews I said were like, Will Ferrell's pretty good, but everything besides Will Ferrell is better. Like,
I heard Dan...
Dan Stevens is in it.
Dan Stevens is good from Legion. And Rachel McAdams. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where people are responding to it better than the critics are, I believe.
Right, okay, yeah.
But again, I haven't finished it, so I don't know. But from what I saw of it, it wasn't bad. And Pierce Brosnan plays his dad and...
Oh, hello.
Whatever.
All right,
so,
I'm intrigued now. All right, I'm probably going to watch that.
Yeah, go. Yeah, after you finish Hamilton.
No, I'm going to watch that before Hamilton.
But Hamilton's only 2 hours and 40 minutes plus intermission.
Seems long.
It's a musical.
They don't trim it for TV?
Why would you trim it for musical? Listen to yourself. They trim a couple of F-bombs, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's bloody Disney for you, isn't it?
Yes, that's what they do. Yep.
And they trim the bit where you see Hamilton's butt.
What?
Yeah, they put hair on it.
Alexander Hamill butt.
Yep. What are you going to watch?
I got a few things in particular. I mentioned that thing's Transformers. I shouldn't have mentioned it because now what am I doing?
Idiots.
Harley Quinn, obviously. I am going to watch Hamilton. Suggestible's back as well.
Oh.
So if people want to get into that, that's back this week and next week. There's an episode. But that's my other podcast I do, Mason. Mm-hmm. I know you haven't heard it, but that's the one.
Is it mostly you and your wife shouting at each other?
Yes.
Because I was on it for 5 minutes once and that was all it was.
Yeah, it's still that.
Couldn't get a bloody word in edgewise. We just shout at each other. Is that because you're not allowed to shout in the house? So yeah,
we shout in the house. No, we don't. Look, contrary to popular belief and what we from our output, we do play it up a bit. Like we don't like have like massive blues that often. Don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. We're bloody having it, hashing it out, mate.
Mm.
Yeah, but
does it sound like Bluey? Speaking of blues,
he does.
TV
yeah,
show Bluey.
Bluey's a good thing to like if we need like 5 minutes before we go and he's
oh, they 5 minute episodes.
Yeah, it's just like. Just,
oh, I didn't know that.
I need you to just like sit for a minute while I sort something.
I also didn't know that apparently the dad in that is played by Dave McCormack
yes,
from the band Custard.
Correct.
Which is a great Australian band if you haven't got into that.
I have.
Cool.
So
nice.
I mean, thanks anyway. But
good
yeah,
on you. Yeah.
So I'm actually reading and this. Somebody recommended this to me and I wish I had it because it's from like a YouTube comment. The Fantastic Four Book of Doom by Ed Brubaker and Pablo Raimondi. It's chronicles Doom's origins over 6 issues.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether you've read it.
I have
it,
read that one, yeah.
Apparently it's amazing. So I just wish I could find the comment. But
That
was you.
That's how this happened is I commented and I said, James, I cannot believe you haven't read the Book of Doom.
The problem
the books
is
of Doom, when whatever it's called.
When I go to look for things, this particular thing, all the comments that I screenshot are for hate mail.
Yes.
Oh, this one just says, Ben is handsome as hell. So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I meant to send that to Ben.
Everyone check out his EP.
That's right.
Business District.
And he's also got a new video that's coming out this on the channel, my channel, this week. So there you go. I can't find who said that. I'm really sorry. But anyway, so I'm really looking forward to that, some Dr. Doom stuff. So.
Very good.
Very good. Why did you make that noise when you hit that drink bottle, Mason? Something that a frog would do.
He's full of lies. He's full of lies.
Should we do the next segment?
Yeah, let's do letters.
Let's do it.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. And now they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Westworld. If you do want to reach the show, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's right.
Shoot through an email to Mason. Also, I should mention, I had a look in there before. There's a lot of clickbait articles that people have been sending your way for
that's
our bonus
right.
podcast.
We got this covered.
Yeah. Which is from bigsandwich.co, which is $9 a month if you want to do it. I don't know. Have we mentioned this already in the show?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but we already got another ad in it and whatever.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly
it's fine.
Right. Yeah,
but yeah, if you do want to check it out, it's really mostly it comes down to keeping the lights on here. And
yes.
If everything falls down, including Patreon, we've got that.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
The new podcast is a bit looser.
Yes.
I think people are, if you go to the Great Mates, the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, yeah, have some nice fun chats in there. It's all good times. But I think some people have said, we just want to, it'd be nice if there was just a podcast where you and I just have a bit of a gab.
I'm fine with that.
And that we got this covered is sort of leaning more towards that. There's no rules in that podcast.
No, it's absolutely not. It's absolutely not. So yeah, and it's really going to become anything at any point. Yeah.
And it's meaner.
But no snitches.
No, don't snitch on us.
Yeah, but again, if you can't afford it, don't stress. Also, there's commentary going up on there this week. The Rise of Skywalker is going up there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And so we last night we just recorded a new commentary, which will be coming out several weeks after that.
Yes,
and I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, this will definitely give it away.
Mm.
It is a Disney-owned property.
That's
right. 60-70% of media in the world that Disney own, it's one of those.
We're going to thumb through some Alien versus Predator books.
That's right. Yep.
And you're going to love it. Yeah.
And I had a really good time with that.
Yeah,
one,
that was a good one. I enjoyed
really
that
good
as
one.
Well.
So people will like that one. I
Here's
think.
A hint. It goes for 2 hours and 6 minutes, maybe.
Mm.
There you go. And it's a Disney owned property.
Yes, that's right.
What do you got, though, in terms of letters this
Let's
week?
Have a look here. This is from Monica.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Thanks for helping me pass my state exam, lads.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. Says, hello, James and May. So I'm running in to report that yesterday I had my final state exam for assistant teacher qualification on the subject of American culture and history, and I made my main topic US comics without ever having read more than a handful.
That's incredible.
So what I'm saying is my entire knowledge was based on your podcast and Mason's Do Go On episodes.
Ah,
I got an A on content.
Because you did a Marvel one and you did a Ninja Turtles one.
Yep, and a Batman one.
Batman one, cool.
In general, this podcast helped me a lot with getting through my uni times because it always was a genuine bright spot. From Monica. She says, can I be the official German TA of the pod? Yes, you may.
You have to be.
So perfect. You're from Germany?
Hey, no, I'm not from Germany.
Not you.
I've been there, obviously, because I travel, but no, I'm not from Germany. I think I may have some ancestry, but I'm mostly Irish.
I was trying to find a water bottle that I could ding.
You mean the one that you dinged before?
No. Nope.
Why would I lie about such an innocuous thing? It wouldn't make any sense, Mason, for me to do that.
That's what people like you do.
I've got a tweet here from Chris Kidd.
Okay.
Says, stumbled upon the Batman Who Laughs comics and was interested in seeing if you had read them and if you liked them. I know nothing about comics, but figured I know two mates who do, so why not ask them? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I have read the Batman Who Laughs.
I've also read them. I'm not a huge fan.
I didn't mind it. Yeah, I didn't really like the way it wrapped up because the idea behind the Batman Who Laughs is he gets poisoned with a Joker venom.
It's a parallel universe version of the Joker, yeah.
Oh, no, this is a different one again.
Oh, okay, right.
So this one is where he's turning into the Batman Who Laughs. So it's not set in that.
Oh, I see. Right.
I mean, it is set. It's connected, but he's slowly going mad.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And he's trying to fend that off while. But he also has to go insane to beat the real Joker, Batman Who Laughs or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. I haven't read those. I only read the initial origin of that character, which I did not care for because it seemed a bit mean spirited. But
sure. Maybe going to White Knight if you're looking for something with a bit of a Batman edge. Batman White Knight might be the way to go. But no, I liked it. So yeah. I think you can't really go wrong with
all
that.
Right.
Yeah. What do you got?
This is from Harris Johnston.
Hello, Harris Johnston.
It says, the global pandemic helped me achieve my dream job. Sounds like a spam email.
Certainly does. It's one of the ones where you open up and the formatting's all weird and the font's all wrong. Yeah, and you know, like, immediately that it's spam.
Yeah, and it's like, but click here to sign in. And you're like, okay. Well, no, my bank account. Dear James and Nick, at the beginning of the year, I lost my job as a community physiotherapist.
Oh, boo.
The global pandemic, yeah, and resulted in myself being unemployed for a few months. However, I kept my head high and applied at my local hospitals around Brisbane. Brisbane boy. As I have always dreamt of working with the hospital sector. Thanks to the virus and hospitals requiring additional staff, I managed to land my dream job as a physiotherapist at a hospital. I just wanted to thank you both for content that helped me through quarantine and to and from work.
That's awesome. That's great.
I know you haven't done this in a while, but could I be your official physiotherapist of the podcast? Yes, you can. We'll be journeying up to Brisbane.
Brisbane.
You can fix our various pains.
We're going to take a trip with the boys.
Boys trip. Yep.
You're going to fix all the boys.
All the boys. Yep. All the boys are going to get real fixed up. We're old. We've got aches and pains.
You know it.
We've got all sorts of tensions.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
And emotionally too. So
The next sentence is, if you both require a physiotherapist at any point, I'd be happy to provide a telehealth consult.
Telehealth?
Yeah, right?
No.
We got up with the boys. We got up through to bloody Brisbane. We're going to go to the casino.
That's right.
We're going to go get some physio.
Star City. Yep. Is that in Brisbane? I don't know.
It sounds like it would be.
Yeah. Might be on Gold Coast.
He says also, do you have any plans to play Star Wars Bounty Hunter featuring Jango Fett before season 2 of The Mandalorian begins for Caravan of Garbage?
Yes. I think we've talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah, but I've never played that one, I don't think.
I didn't love it, but they re-released it on PS4.
Oh, let's get it. Yeah, okay, cool.
But how you like the video games now is that I play them and get frustrated and you just mock me the whole time.
The system has been developed that works, yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just me slowly grinding through a game. And I could finish a game if you gave me 5 hours.
Yeah,
we don't have 5 hours.
Because often also, like, I'll practice games to kind of get some semblance of ability to make them a little bit swifter.
Uh-huh.
But no, we haven't done video games since Bond, which people seem to really like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd like to revisit some. But then you do video games and people are like, this isn't a movie. And then, you know, it's the whole thing.
We do movies and they're like, this isn't a record.
Yeah. Exactly.
We do a comic and people are like, this isn't you, just a video of you painting your house. We can't win.
I don't need to paint my house.
Right?
It's fine. Still a few years away probably from doing that. Yeah, it's a lot of brickwork there. It's fine.
A couple of months. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, you've been optimistic.
Can't I just get a new one?
I mean, maybe. I mean, prices are going down, aren't they?
Are they?
Maybe.
I don't know anymore.
No.
I got a tweet here from Gianni. Yes. Says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Just, hi, just had a thought. While listening to the pod with regards to Keaton's return as Batman, of course, I think it'd be cool if Robert Battenbat was actually confirmed as Bruce Wayne, wasn't confirmed as Bruce Wayne, but as a Batman successor, similar to RIP and Beyond storylines. No? Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but I like the idea of doing someone else other than Bruce Wayne be Batman.
Yeah, for sure.
Or some other crime fighters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Robert
Nightwing.
I was going to say Robert Nightwing Pattinson movie. Does have, he gives off Dick Grayson vibes to me. Mm. So why not him, you know, say it's a few years later and
yeah.
The, you know, the old school Batman died or retired and.
Yeah. Or he quit because he's Ben Affleck, doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm into it.
Pretty good, right?
In for a penny, in for a penny worth. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to be going now to paint my house.
I was going to say, it really needs it. It's really broke bad in the last couple of minutes. So, yeah. This is just one little extra one. This is from Noah Buxton, a 13-year-old listener. He wants us to shout out his brother, his older brother, Owen Buxton from Pennsylvania, who's been quarantining and can't see his family. So,
oh, it sucks.
Shout out to Owen Buxton. Good on you, mate.
Bloody stay safe.
Stick it out, and you'll see your parents and your family in no time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really difficult when people are quarantined on different parts of the country or world or whatever. Right. Yeah, no, that really sucks. Stay indoors if you can, though, obviously.
Yes.
Because, you know, pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's real.
And outside's boring anyway.
It's not that good. No. It's really cold at the moment. I've saw some people email and said, you don't know cold in Melbourne. Yes, I know. You live in fucking... some bullshit country I don't care about.
You live in that ice cave I'm always mentioning. We know. We get it. Your life is just numbness and cold. We know.
Yeah, you live for the cold, et cetera.
Still pretty cold here.
We're not equipped
emotionally. That's right.
Mm. I've got one more tweet here.
I'm ready.
This is from, who have I got here? What's the name? Oh, no, the name's gone. Where did it go? It's from Kyle Rancourt. Says,
great name.
I know. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I just wanted you guys to know that you're helping me through quarantine. He put this post that says, my wife used to listen to the podcast on her commute home while I would and still do listen to it while our son naps. Since she's been at home for 3+ months, she's been way behind on the Weekly Planet. She came out of her office today and I paused the episode to talk to her. It was right at the beginning of the What We're Reading, What We're Gonna Read. She was humming, singing the theme song the rest of the day and I would stage whisper, Westworld. And then laugh to myself. She thinks I'm going mad, so thanks for either keeping me sane or pushing me in the opposite direction. Either way, Monday morning is something I look forward to now. So thank you.
That's nice. Good. And I'm glad we're pushing
marriages apart.
Marriage either closer together or further apart. Either way, as long as they don't stay static.
Exactly. Static. Always be moving.
ABM.
That's it. Mm. All right. We should probably wrap up the show because my son is slowly making his way down behind you.
Oh, my God, he actually is, yeah. That's right. He's going to say a mean thing about my face again. All right, folks, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling a friend.
Yes.
If you can't see him in person, just tell him over the DMs. Mm. You know, we really appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving a nice review. James, you got a nice review there?
I've actually got a nice review here by TRev1000 that says, nice review, 5 stars, and said, did you know you can review in-app? Which is so true, because you can.
Not on Spotify, apparently, but they might be working on it.
Delete the app.
Yeah. You can do it on Google. I bet you can do it on Google.
This one is, it's really easy. It really helps the show. This one says, this is from Conservative Millennial, says 5 stars. Nick Mason, the other guy, pretty funny. A pretty funny podcast about movies, comics, and TV shows. Nick Mason and that other guy are funny, even though the other is slowly going insane. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what else, Mason?
Oh, my goodness. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. I'm Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. You, James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Yes.
You can also go to The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That's our friend Rob Collings.
Yeah, he's cool.
And he's also at Rob Collings, and you can bloody look at all his great stuff, and he does all sorts of stuff. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com to sign up for the newsletter, which he also does. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group for all sorts of fun conversations about all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Not just podcasts, but just pop culture. And
you can have a good civil time.
General delightful stuff.
That's right.
Let's see. You can go to get some T-shirts at tpublic.com. You can thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you'd like to chuck in a buck. We'd definitely appreciate that. There's the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description. You want to click on that.
So good at this.
I've lost the thread because of the compliment.
T-shirts on something?
Yeah, we did that. If you want to just buy some groceries, get them delivered to your house, do it through our link and that'll help us out somehow. You can also sign up to BigSandwich.co. you want to get our
bonus stuff, bonus early stuff. Ad stuff. Free.
Rise of Skywalker.
That's right.
Commentary. What did we recorded it so long ago, but I
a million years ago.
We had a grand time. Mm. That's the whole show, I reckon.
It is. Next week, maybe that Marvel thing we've been promising.
Right.
It's coming.
We have recorded it, so we it have. Is inevitable at
it's
some
inevitable.
Point.
It's inevitable. It has to happen.
Mm.
Yeah, and the good thing is if one of us dies, we've got one bit
we've
of
got
extra
one
content.
One in the can, exactly. That's right.
Great to know.
Yeah, we can sell it off to the highest bidder. We can auction it off, right?
Like a Daredevil yeah. suit.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. You're on your scooter. Looking good. Look at him go.
I can't see him.
Look at him go, Mason.
Nope, I refuse. I can't see him and I refuse to move.
All right, thanks, guys, for listening.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.